imagine the turmoil in Paul's heart. After pouring out his life as a zealous missionary for Christ, the Romans put him in a dark dungeon awaiting execution. Yet Paul didn't throw a pity party. He didn't blame his accusers or lash out in bitterness. Instead, Paul wrote an impassioned letter to Timothy, chock full of first century wisdom that applies to our lives in 2025. Today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to follow along in 2 Timothy as Paul's remarkable story unfolds. He titled today's message, Shackled, Deserted, But Still Undaunted. And Chuck begins with prayer.
What a privilege it is, our Father, to have this Bible open in our lap, written in our own language, carefully and professionally bound in a book that we can carry with us. How easy to forget that there are blood stains across time from those who gave their lives for its truths. Martyrs in every generation, all the way back and beyond the first generation. What a pleasure it has been to study the life of one of them. How easy it is for us in a comfortable place like this, with plenty of food in our refrigerators, food left over in restaurants where we eat, plenty of our needs met, in fact, most of them, to imagine life as it must have been lived in a dungeon. As this man took up his final stylus to write words to his friend Timothy. It's good for us, our Father, to be exposed to such truth. It's good for us to move to a period not our own, in a place where most of us will never be, to imagine life as it was, and to glean the application of these things written to one man, but meant for the whole world. Help us this day, our Father, on the heels of a wonderful holiday, to listen unusually well to the proclamation of the truth. Guide my lips, guard me from exaggeration or inaccuracy, so that truth might be spoken and truth might be applied. Some come today with very heavy hearts, dragging with them the anchors of a life marked by compromise, failure, sin, habits that still go on. Thank you for your compassion that is new every morning, for your love and your mercy. And most of all, with that in mind, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the hope there is in the thought that it is never too late to start doing what is right. Help those who come today doing wrong to leave with clear consciences, forgiven hearts, that they might do right. Thank you for power that's beside our own power, that's outside our own strength, to endure conflict and hardship, not the least of which is standing as we should in a world that's lost its way. Without being freaks, without becoming extremists, without losing control on balance, kindness, and grace, may we live, our Father, according to another drumbeat, lest the world around us squeeze us into its mold. Help us to have a good filtering system so that we are able to discern truth from error. Without being witch hunters, may we discern where there is, in fact, evil present. And may we do battle against it through the power of your Spirit. There are some attending schools where it is difficult to live for Christ. I pray for them today. I pray that you would help them, students and faculty alike, that their lives may reflect your standard, that their lives may be modeling your truths. I pray for homemakers today who are about the home doing the work that is so vital in this world. I pray that you would lift, that you would elevate their sense of dignity and significance. You would remind them of their investment and the importance of their lives. Thank you for those who earn livings in difficult places where the demands are heavy, the requirements severe. I pray that you would help them to do well in the pressure, and that you would sustain them carefully. I pray for those men and women who serve in the military today and for the families of such. I pray that you would give a special amount of comfort and encouragement. I pray for those who serve alongside the president and in the shadows and the wings of the Oval Office, that you would give them discernment, care, guidance, wisdom, that they might give the right words to those who are in the place of making the best decisions. Now, our Father, we thank you for the privilege, the honor of giving to your work. I pray that you will be pleased in the motive behind the gift, as well as the gift itself, that you would sustain this work for your greater glory because of the devotion of these who give joyfully and generously. And may this final visit in the life of Paul touch us deeply so that we do not remain the same. Change our hearts, O God. Make us ever new. Mold us into ones like Christ, even as Paul lived his life. Now, this time of worship, Lord, is yours, and we quietly sit before you as we ponder our lives and prepare ourselves for the proclamation of the word. In Jesus' blessed name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the life of the Apostle Paul on your own, be sure to purchase our Searching the Scriptures Bible Study Workbook by going to insight.org/workbooks. Chuck titled today's message, Shackled, Deserted, But Still Undaunted.
Charles Ryrie writes in the notes of his Bible, Paul knew that this time he would not be freed, and that is true. His life is being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of his departure has come. He's lonely. Look at verse 9 of this fourth chapter. Make every effort to come to me soon. We don't know if Timothy made it before winter. We know that Paul was virtually alone, except for Luke, who was with him. Verse 10 tells us that Demas had forsaken him. Having loved this present world, he deserted Paul. The details of that are left for preachers' imaginations. We'll not go there. The point is, he doesn't have Demas, whom he once had. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has left for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, Timothy. When you come, bring along John Mark. Tychicus, verse 12, I have sent to Ephesus. Oh, when you come, bring the cloak I left at Troas. Probably he was captured in Troas for this last arrest. And he was taken so quickly he didn't even have time to reach back and get his cloak. Something to keep warm. You know, I take the time here in this fourth chapter, not only because we all need the reminder, but I think it helps set the stage for the whole letter. He's deserted, he's shackled, but he is undaunted. Here is a man who was strong to the very end. But he doesn't write without feelings, deep, deep feelings. Allow me to do just a little survey, sort of a safari through the letter, if I may do that, beginning in chapter 1. Let me unfold for you how this scroll must have originally unrolled as Timothy read it and wept through it. Paul writes him as his beloved son, verse 2. That's how close they were. Remember, Timothy came during that second journey where they met, and Timothy had a heart for God, and Paul noticed it and asked if he would travel with him. And Timothy, though a very young man at the time, probably in his late teenage years, certainly not more than early 20s, joined the band and went with Luke along with Paul and traveled and became for Paul a soul brother, one whose heart was so like his own. A kindred spirit was Timothy to Paul. So he calls him my beloved son, and he offers the same greeting that is commonly offered in first century writing among Christians: mercy and grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Why am I here? Nope, he doesn't start like that. He says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Isn't that great? There is none of the bitterness that you might expect from a man who's getting what he doesn't deserve. He says, I'm thanking God relationship is so close that you come to mind day and night, and I pray for you, longing to see you as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. Paul adds, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, Timothy, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. The benefits of godly roots, the older I get, the more I appreciate them. Paul looks back over time and remembers not only Timothy as a younger man, but he remembered his mother and he remembered his grandmother. John Calvin adds a wonderful word. Timothy was reared in his infancy in such a way that he could suck in godliness along with his mother's milk. As she held him to her breast, as she rocked him in the chair, as she sung him to sleep in the crib, as she reared him in his earliest years, Eunice poured the truth into the ears of her son, Timothy. His blood, to use Spurgeon's words, was bibline. The truth of Scripture was coursing through his veins long before he met Paul. And it was that attracted Paul to him and said, you travel with me. Here's a kindred spirit. Now they've come full cycle. And Paul is ebbing the last few hours of his life, and he's reflecting back to those earlier days. And he said, for this reason, I remind you, verse 6, kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. Verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline. Here he is already exhorting a son. You dads do that. As soon as you have a chance, you just lay another truth on them. And you hope they don't forget that, so you repeat that. And you say it again until the kids roll their eyes. Heard this before. Here we go. Here we go again. I'm sure Timothy has heard Paul say this, but now he reads it with new eyes, because it's coming from the hands of a man shaking in sickness, soon to be cold in death. So he admonishes him to not to be timid. Don't be fearful. Verse 8, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. This is the first of the five references to his being a prisoner. Join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 13, don't be careless with the truth that's been invested in your life, Timothy. Retain the standard of sound words. Verse 14, guard the treasure. Guard the treasure that has been entrusted to you. See the word entrusted? It's the word, it's a banking term for making a deposit. The treasure that I have spent years depositing in you, oh Timothy, guard it. Retain the standard and guard the treasure. Retain the standard, guard the treasure. Must have been in Timothy's mind till the day of his death, as it comes from his mentor in such a straightforward way. This seems to set Paul off into a series of exhortations, and I can count six of them in the second chapter. The first one is in verse 1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, preach grace, live grace, be strong in grace. Second, be faithful to deposit the truth in others. That's verse 2. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I call this the relay of truth. Paul got it from the baton of another. Paul took the baton and gave it to Timothy. Timothy takes the baton and hands it off to others. Timothy, don't drop the baton. Don't stop the relay. I've gotten it from others, and it passes through me to you, and it passes through you to others. This has been called the ministry of multiplication. From you to others. I've given it to many others as well. Timothy, you're one of them. And Timothy, when each one of you give it to others, it will just multiply. It will grow. Don't drop the baton. Don't fail in the responsibility of your life. Pass it on. Be faithful to make the deposit. The third is to be brave as a soldier. That's in verses 3 and 4. Suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Be brave like a soldier. Then he turns to the picture of an athlete and he says, be disciplined as an athlete is disciplined. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rule. He's training and then he goes into the race or whatever may be the responsibility of his role in athleticism and he carries it out, takes discipline to do it all. Timothy, be disciplined as an athlete. Verse 15 is the fifth exhortation. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed in accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent as a workman, and finally, be gentle like a servant. That's verses 24 to 26. With gentleness, verse 25, correcting those who are in opposition. Talk about a checklist for living faithfully. That'll do it. Be strong in grace. Be faithful to deposit. Be brave like a soldier, disciplined like an athlete, diligent like a workman, and gentle like a servant. All of that provides the impetus for him to move into the warnings. And the warnings in this letter appear in the first part of chapter 3, where he becomes realistic when he says, realize this. And I think it was here that he must have paused and looked up through the grate and began to imagine what life would be like when it moves on without him. Knowing humanity as Paul knew it, understanding depravity as he had written of it in the Roman letter, the letter to the Romans, he says to Timothy, realize that things will go from bad to worse. Difficult times will come. One of my mentors used to render this savage times. That's not too far off. Without adding to the scriptures, but making them, helping you understand how relevant they are, let me just use the words, difficult times have come. It was future to Paul, but it's present to us. The world now is much worse than it was in the days of the apostle, and the apostle is warning Timothy that there will be an erosion of the standard. There will be a departing from the truth. There will be a living in compromise. There will be hypocrisy and duplicity and lies and deception. It'll only get worse. See verse 10, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me in these places. Now, verse 13, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. Has that happened? Why, they even board airplanes with bombs connected to them. Why, they will stand before you and say one thing and mean something altogether different. They will take your money when you're not watching. They will come into your home and they will steal your valuables, even though you try to protect yourself from them. But to make it worse, there will be religious hypocrisy and imposters who will try to convince you that this is truth when in fact it is a lie. Timothy, be alert. Now, when he gets to verse 14, there is a strong contrast. But you, Timothy, I yell it out because it's contrast in the way it's written here. The pronoun is at the very beginning of the sentence, and thankfully our translators have done that in this. You, however, the world will do this, people will do that, you'll find the times will move in this, but you. It's like he turns Timothy around and shakes him by the shoulders. But you listen to me now, Timothy. Two things are to guard your steps. First, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings. He starts with the wisdom that comes from other people. Continue in the things you have learned from those who have been older and wiser than you. And continue in the things that you find written on the sacred manuscripts. Both provide you with the kind of strength and wisdom you need to survive in a world that's lost its way. Both. This is a good moment for me to pause and help you do a little self-analysis. It's a preacher's way of saying I'm going to start meddling. Many of us are living fast-moving lives. We have moved ahead in our speed and our efficiency, but it may be that we have outrun the wisdom and training that we were first given by those older than we. Can you remember the teaching that was passed along to you by a godly mother or a wise father or a mentor or a teacher or a coach or a friend or a pastor in your younger years? I can remember as if it were yesterday some things passed along to me, especially by my father, who didn't talk nearly as much as my mother, but he somehow connected with me. He really connected me with me on my 13th birthday. I was laying on the bed in my room and my birthday, and he was out there weeding the little flower garden and said, "Charles, you need to come out here and help me finish this." And I said, "No, not today. I'm 13. That's the last thing I remember saying until about dark that evening. He was in the house like a flash, and he whipped me all the way out the door and all the way across the backyard and all the way to the flower bed until I was convinced I will get every possible weed that is in existence out of this flower bed. Toward the end of the day, before sundown, he came out and said, "Come on, get cleaned up. We're going to go to dinner, celebrate your birthday." And while at dinner, he passed along something to me about obedience that I remember to this day. Helps when they beat it into you, by the way. No, I never suffered a beating, so don't feel sorry for me. But I had a father who cared enough about me not to worry that I had turned 13. If I needed a spanking, I was going to get one. As I recall, it was the last one, since I was able to outrun him after that. I learned and became convinced of something that has helped me all the way through the rest of my life. When someone in authority over you has your good at heart, you do exactly what they say. You don't even ask why. Good counsel.
There's much more to learn from this passage in 2 Timothy. In Paul's letter, we come to respect the heart behind this man of grit and grace. You're listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll titled his message, Shackled, Deserted, But Still Undaunted. It's the very last installment in Chuck's 22-part series on Paul. Chuck Swindoll also wrote a full-length biography on Paul's dramatic life, and it's our featured resource today. If you'd like to order the book, make your request right away, because this series concludes tomorrow. The book is called Paul, A Man of Grace and Grit. We often hear comments about Chuck's ability to put skin on biographical stories, and that's really important because God gave us these biblical heroes to demonstrate His love and grace. We know you'll see Paul in a fresh new light as you read this biography, and you can purchase a copy right now by calling 800-772-8888 or go directly to insight.org/offer. In addition to Chuck's biographical book on Paul, Insight for Living has also prepared a brand new Bible study for this series. It's in our Searching the Scriptures format, which is a spiral-bound interactive Bible study workbook. To purchase one today, go to insight.org/workbooks. We know that you support your local church and other nonprofit ministries, and if Insight for Living continues to serve as your daily oasis and deepens your walk with God, we would invite your voluntary support as well. Your financial gift will empower us to continue airing on your station, but more importantly, your gift will bless someone you may never meet who needs to hear more about God's grace. You can send your donation to Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll presents the final message in his classic biography on Paul, tomorrow on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Shackled, Deserted, But Still Undaunted, was copyrighted in 2001, 2003, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.